Well, it's December 18th. How are you feeling? Are you ready for Christmas? Everybody got it ready? Let me see a show of hands if you feel like you're ready. Not too many hands. How many of you still have Christmas shopping to do? Let me see a show of hands on that. Okay, I'm going to clue you in. Counting today and Christmas Eve, you got 7 days. 7 days to pull this off. 7 shopping days left. One year, Caroline and I actually had all of our shopping done by December 1st. It was awesome. This was not that year. I'm not sure we've had another year like that since, but it was incredible. We got to just focus on the season and not the shopping. It was all done. As I said a couple weeks ago, one of the things that we're noticing is that Christmas just roll by so much faster all the time. They say that it's going to happen as you get older, and I tell you what, it's true. It just happens faster and faster. It feels like the tree's up, and then it comes down again. I was out with Eli doing some shopping yesterday, and I said, wow, in a week and a few days, Christmas is done in the way the world sees it, and the tree will be coming down before you know it. Can anybody relate to that fast-paced feeling of Christmas? With the pace of it all, it seems like we need to be very intentional if we're going to actually celebrate this season. Well, through this season at Old Fort Church, we have been trying to be intentional to actually unwrap Christmas, and we're going to continue with that same intentionality this morning. Let me begin this morning with a question. When it comes to Christmas right now, are you feeling like you've just got to survive it? Or are you feeling like I'm going to celebrate it? I mean, be really honest with yourself. Are you feeling at this point like I just got to survive this another year, or I'm really going to celebrate it? Now, I'm not going to take a show of hands on that, but I want you to know if you're one of the people that would say, you know, this year I'm just trying to survive it, that I'm pretty sure if I did do a show of hands, yours wouldn't be the only one. Now, some may be thinking, but that's kind of some kind of sacrilege, isn't it? Every Christian should want to celebrate Christmas. Well, you know, I hope that this will help all of us choose to do that this morning, that we'll do that all right. But understand that for some, the circumstances of life right now just lead them to fall more into that survival mode than that celebration mode. There are several one-word, one-phrase descriptions that explain why some people feel that they're more in survival mode than celebration mode. And here's some of them. One of them is money. The money's tight this year, and I just feel like I can barely survive because of that. Another is the jungle out there. Anybody experienced the jungle out there yesterday? It was a pretty big jungle. Anybody do Black Friday shopping? There's a jungle out there, right? For some, surviving is about the parents. Maybe your parents are hard to get along with. Maybe your parents are getting older. Or maybe it's the children. For some, it's the in-laws. I've heard some that call them the outlaws, but we're talking the in-laws. That seems to be more of the problem. Or it's family tension. For some, it's simply the fattening food. Some of us, it's loneliness that we experience during Christmas, or health issues, joblessness. Or maybe it's a loss of a loved one, and you just know that Christmas is never, ever going to be the same. I think that in even most of us who would answer that we're going to celebrate Christmas this year, we would confess that even us in celebrating find some real tensions around Christmas. Maybe not in one of the areas that I've listed. Maybe it just is simply an untangling the lights this year, or getting the house decorated, getting it done on time, or maybe knowing what to buy for those people who seem to have absolutely everything, or maybe it's the task of getting everything wrapped that's bringing tension, or sending out all the Christmas cards on time. I think that most of us can feel some of the tension around the Christmas season as well, right? Friends, here's where we get in trouble. Where Christmas starts to lose its luster. It's when we allow ourselves to be so focused on all of the tensions and the survival mode that we lose the focus of Jesus, who is the reason for the season. Rick Warren put out a book a few years ago called The Purpose of Christmas, and listen to this paragraph from his book. He says this, ironically, at most Christmas parties, the person whose birthday you're supposed to be celebrating is completely ignored. He's never even mentioned. Although Jesus is the reason for the season, he's often overlooked or merely mentioned with Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus, the Grinch, elves, and a long list of fictional characters. He's often overlooked. Here's the thing, friends. When we overlook and we forget about Jesus, that's when we start to move into survival mode. If you're in survival mode this Christmas, maybe you're focusing on all of the tensions and you're overlooking Jesus. When you overlook Jesus, you move to survive. When you focus on Jesus, you move to celebrate. And listen, I get how bad circumstances can push you, but understand you also can push back. Focus on Jesus. And this morning, we're going to unwrap the celebration of Christmas. So let's pray together as we get ready to do that. God, I understand there are a lot of tensions around this day, and unfortunately, most of those tensions are human-induced. They have nothing to do with Jesus being born at all. They have to do with the expectation we place on this day and what we call a holiday season. A lot of expectations of how things are supposed to look and what we're supposed to do and who we're supposed to see and what we're supposed to buy and what we're supposed to give and what we're supposed to get. All of these things that place these undue tensions. And then there's the real things that really matter that bring tension, the life circumstances that are really hard, that make it almost intolerable at times to even think about Christmas. God, pare away all of that today. Help us unwrap the celebration this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I know that we're not at Christmas yet, but I want to share with us for a moment one of the most familiar Christmas story passages. As we look at this, I want us to look for the element of celebration that is in this story. It's the same passage, Luke 2, 8 through 20, that Charlie Brown Christmas special where Linus shares the meaning of Christmas. So maybe you remember it from that. It's the passage that we read every Christmas morning in my family before we open Christmas presents. And here's the passage. Look for the element of celebration here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Friends, good news, causing great joy, that sounds like a celebration to me, right? A celebration. Verse 11, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Here's another one. A baby being born, that's a celebration, right? It's the birth of the Messiah of the world, even a greater celebration. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests.'" A great company of angels praising God. What's that sound like? Celebration, doesn't it? You seeing the common thread through the story? At verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Here they're saying, let's go see what the celebration is all about. "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Okay, it's more celebration. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." That's probably my favorite line in our passage today. It's a party that isn't going to end anytime soon. They just seen Jesus just as they had been told. And when you encounter Jesus, you can't be quiet about that, friends. You've got to celebrate it. You've got to celebrate it. Friends, through this text of the birth of Jesus is the key to unwrapping Christmas. It's celebration. We need to celebrate it. Now let me ask you a question. If you've at some point given your life to Jesus as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, can you remember back to that time when you first really encountered him, when you embraced him for yourself? I'm not talking about something that you know about your parents or about your grandparents or about a friend or about your spouse that they've experienced, that they've gone through. I'm talking about you personally encountering Jesus. Maybe you've not done that yet. Maybe this is the Christmas season that you'll do that for the first time. I can remember pretty vividly what it was like for me after I first embraced Jesus for myself at the age of 18. And do you know what a good word would be to describe it? Celebration. Celebration. There was a thrill in being a new believer in Jesus. There was a new excitement, a new purpose in my life. I was anxious to learn more and to grow. I read my Bible and I prayed and I got into a Bible study so I could learn more. And I remember when that first Christmas and that first Easter rolled around after I had been saved by Jesus, it was like I discovered Christmas for the first time. It was new and it was fresh. I never knew that it had so much meaning. And then with Easter, really comprehending the magnitude of Christ's death on a cross for me and the resurrections, friends, it was like I'd lived my life with blinders on up until that point. And all of a sudden they were removed, pulled away, and I had a brand new clarity that took hold of my life. Can you check back into that feeling of your first encounters with Jesus? Can you remember it? Can you check into it? Maybe if you accepted Jesus at a very young age, you're not going to remember as much or as well. But if you did as a teenager or as an adult, I bet you can somewhat remember. Can you remember the excitement? Do you remember it? Well, friends, here's the million-dollar question. What happened? What's happened since then? Why did the good news stop being as good and just become news? What happens to our lives that causes the enthusiasm of being a new follower of Jesus to kind of fall away? Why isn't Jesus worthy of being celebrated 365 days of the year? Well, you know, the answer is really simple. He is worthy. He is worthy. The problem isn't his worthiness, it's our forgetfulness. If you're anything like me, and my suspicion is that you are, because we all forget things, we just forget about the wonder and the majesty of this whole thing. My guess is that even when I read that Christmas story for you this morning, many of you weren't thinking about the wonder and the majesty. I mean, holy cow, angels popped out of heaven to talk to some dirty shepherds. Multitudes of them were proclaiming glory to God in the highest and on earth in whom his favor rests. God in all of his power and all of his hugeness and all of his magnitude becomes a baby on this earth. That's majesty and that's wonder. We forget the wonder and the majesty and the good news devolves into simply news. And for some it devolves into old news. Heard that, been there, done that. Friends, here's what you might want to write down on your note page, and I really encourage you to use your note page today. Even if you usually don't, everybody pull it out and get a pen from the seat in front of you and use it today. Really, we are people of forgetting. We forget, and yet I want you to write this down. Our faith is strengthened by remembering. There's not a line for this in your outline. Just write it along the top somewhere. Our faith is strengthened by remembering. I'm going to say it one more time for you. Our faith is strengthened by remembering. That's why we do communion, isn't it? Usually the first Sunday of the month, we're doing it because we're remembering. Take, eat, and remember. That's why we do communion on Christmas Eve. We're strengthened by remembering. I want to remember. I want to remember all that God's done for me, don't you? God wants us to remember, and the Bible's full of forgetful followers. God does one amazing thing after another, and they celebrate him in the moment, and then they go off and they forget, and it happens over and over again. And I hate to stand here before you and admit it, but I have to. I hate to stand before you and admit that as far as I've walked in my journey with Jesus, there are still times that I too forget his goodness. I forget to worship him and for all that he's done for me, and I forget that I need to celebrate. I'm not talking about anybody else in this room right now, just me. I, Mark Stephen Quinter. You didn't know my middle name, did you? Mark Stephen Quinter, I need to celebrate. I need to celebrate that because of Jesus, I've been saved. Because of Jesus, I don't have to pay for my sins. Because of Jesus, I have God's power living in me right now. Because of Jesus, there's a place reserved for me in heaven. Because of Jesus, there's a place reserved and I can keep growing while I'm changing and becoming more like Jesus. I don't have to stay the same. Is there anybody else here like me that just needs to be reminded? Maybe if we celebrated more, you know what? Maybe we'd grumble a whole lot less. I'll tell you what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to share a tool with you for remembering to celebrate. And the good thing about this tool is most of you have it with you every single day or around you or see it every single day. It may be in your pocket. It may be in your purse. It may be in the ashtray of your car or maybe in a jar sitting at home somewhere. And here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in this room to pull out a coin. To have a coin in your hand. Pull out in your pockets, your purse, find a coin. Look at those near you. If they don't have a coin in their hand and you have extras, it's Christmas time. Share with them. Give them one of your coins. In case nobody has one, being the big spender that I am, I actually brought some coins with me. I want you to raise a hand if you don't have one. Josh is going to get one to you. I want everybody to have a coin in your hand or on your lap with you the rest of the message. So get one of those. As being the big spender I am, you know, if everybody were here and it wasn't icy, I got about $2 worth here that I'm giving out today. And that's pretty impressive from my own bank account. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some people are already thinking, wait a second, this isn't normally how we do church. I know it's like this reverse offering thing going on, isn't it? Well, you can go home today and you can tell your friends and family that the pastor gave us money today. And maybe they'll come with you on Christmas Eve. Try that one. Everybody, make sure you have a coin. Raise your hand if you don't have one. Josh will get one to you. I want you to have a coin in your hand. Doesn't matter what it is at this point, just that you have one. Everybody got one? Now, I know that some people today rarely use cash. They use plastic, or they use PayPal, or they do all kinds of different things. But even so, you still see change all around you in your life yet to this day. You see it on the ground. You might see it in the penny tray at the gas station, or maybe it's sitting laid out on your dresser. What I want you to do is let every time that we see pocket change, allow it to remind us of our need to celebrate, and here's how. I'm going to start with a penny. Anybody have a penny? If you have a penny, I want you to hold it up for me. Hold up your penny. Okay. A penny. If you have a penny, here's what I want you to write on your outline next to penny. Penny past. Put past. Penny past. Can you remember that? Penny past. But it's not just your past that we're going to remember here. Here's what I want you to write on the line next to that where it says penny past. You're going to write this: my past is forgiven. My past is forgiven. Make sure you write that on your outline. My past is forgiven. You're not going to celebrate your past. You're going to celebrate that your past has been forgiven. Because of Jesus, we can celebrate the fact that he's come to wipe away our sins. Friends, we see a lot of pennies in our days, and that's a good thing because we have a lot of past that needs to be forgiven, don't we? Some of us this morning really need to hear this because our past is what keeps us from celebrating. Some of us are stuck in our past. And listen to me carefully. If you've confessed to Jesus and turned from your past to Christ, your past is forgiven. It's forgiven. And some of you need to be reminded of that today. And if you've never done that, if you've never confessed your sin to Jesus and turned from your past, well, you know what? You can do that right now. Right now. Now, I'm not going to assume that any of us have not yet asked Jesus into our heart, but I'm also not going to ever assume that we all have. As much as I can, I want to continue to know that that message is being shared. So right now in this time, I want everybody to close their eyes and bow your heads. And if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you feel ready to do that today, to really celebrate what Christmas is, I want you to be prepared to pray with me. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, there's a lot of pennies in this world. They represent a lot of our past. And some of us think that because of who we've been, we can never be anything greater. We can never be yours. We can never be forgiven. And that is the devil lying in our ear. because God, you have come, you sent your son Jesus to live on this earth and to die so that our past could be forgiven and we could walk in a relationship with you. And if there's a single solitary person in this room, or if there's a bunch who've never asked Jesus into their life that wants to do that today, simply with that penny in your hand, say, Jesus, I'm giving you my past. I'm giving you all of my past failures, all of my past problems, all of my past mistakes, all of my past sin, but not just my past, the sin that I'll still do today and the sin that I'll do tomorrow. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me, to come into my heart today and to lead my life forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. And friends, I want to tell you that if you've done that for the first time today, you're going to celebrate a Christmas like you've never celebrated in your life. It's going to be more real and more vivid to you than you've ever known. Christmas has just been unwrapped for you. Pennies are past. I don't care how bad or how wild your past might seem, he forgives. So hear me. Every time you see a penny, remember penny past, penny past. My past is forgiven. In Romans chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, it tells us, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared from of sin. Friends, those are celebrating words. Penny past, your past is forgiven. Next, let's move on to the nickel. Who has a nickel? If you have a nickel, hold that up. Got a few nickels out there? Nickel is for now. Right now, next to where it says nickel. Think of now, but don't just get stuck on now. Right on the line next to that, now God's Spirit is in me. Now God's Spirit is in me. I'm going to say it one more time. It's on the screen, but I'm going to say it one more time. Now God's Spirit is in me. That's why we celebrate, friends. You can celebrate that when you said yes to Jesus, invited him into your life, you know what? He said yes to you. As a matter of fact, he said yes to you before you ever said yes to him. And the Holy Spirit lives in your life right now. You don't have to go through life alone, not ever. If you're one who just wants to survive Christmas because you feel alone this Christmas, guess what? You're not alone. You've never been alone. That's why Jesus came. Jesus is here with you. I think that most of our lack of focus on Christ and the mess, did you get that little pun there? Christ mess instead of Christ miss Christmas. Christ and the mess that we get ourselves into is because we forget as Christians that God's Spirit resides in us. I've seen followers of Jesus work themselves into some real pickles in life. I've seen them try to handle some of life's different situations all on their own. And whenever they do, they've forgotten the power source that's living within them because of Jesus. Listen to this paraphrase from the Message version of Romans 8:11. It says this, it says, when God lives and breathes in you and does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So whenever you see a nickel, when you see a nickel, celebrate and remember now that God's Spirit lives in me now. Let's move on to the dime next. Who has a dime? Hold up a dime if you have a dime. One in the back. Dimes aren't around so much anymore. Caroline's got a dime. I have a dime. I want you to put determined destiny. Determined destiny. And next to that on the line, I want you to put this. I have a place in heaven. I have a place in heaven. Friends, who here thinks we should celebrate that? I guarantee right now that T.O. is celebrating that. His determined destiny. He has a place in heaven because of Jesus. And I sure do believe that myself. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've been forgiven of your sins, you have a relationship with Jesus, your destiny has been determined. There's a place for you in heaven that's worthy of celebration. Why do we celebrate? We celebrate because when life ends here, it doesn't end. As a follower of Jesus, death has no sting to you. John tells us in John chapter 5, 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It says there that if we hear and believe, and friends, I am so glad that when I heard, I believed, and I crossed over to life. My determined destiny, my destiny is determined. I couldn't make that happen on my own. It's only happened because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of God's Son, who we celebrate at Christmas. Romans 5:21 tells us, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as a Christ follower, every time that you see a dime, celebrate, because it marks my destiny that's determined. My destiny is determined. So we have what? We have a penny for past, right? My past is forgiven. A nickel for now. God's Spirit now is within me. And a dime for determined destiny. My destiny is determined for heaven. That leaves us with the quarter. Anybody have a quarter? You're the big spenders this morning. Okay, hold up your quarter. What is a quarter? What's a quarter have? The quarter is this. Or next to quarter, I want you to put spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Now, I know some of you guys are freaking out over this because you're thinking, where's the Q word? That doesn't fit. You're throwing me off. How am I going to celebrate if I don't remember a Q word? Well, we could use the word quinter, but that would only apply to me and my family, so that doesn't work. We'll come up with something better than that. Listen, you're going to remember this, and I'll explain it how in just a moment. But first, I want you to write on that line next to it on the outline, I can continue to grow. I can continue to grow. I don't have to stay the same. I can celebrate that I can grow and I can develop spiritually. Okay, now, this is not as easy to remember with a quarter as the others, but we can do this, and here's how we're going to do it. When Jesus told the story about a farmer, do you remember that story about the farmer? In the story, the farmer planted seed, right? And of that seed, listen to this, only one quarter. Do you get it now? Only one quarter of that seed grew. One quarter. One quarter. Think about the 75% that didn't grow. Only one quarter grew. You better celebrate your growth. You better celebrate your growth. Listen as Jesus shares in Matthew, this story, Matthew 13, 4 through 8. It says, as he was speaking of the farmer, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and it withered because it had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. Friends, 25% grew. One quarter growth. Can you remember that? One quarter growth. If you're growing spiritually, you surely better celebrate every time that you see a quarter. You have the potential to grow and to change beyond your wildest dreams. So we have a reason to celebrate, don't we? We can unwrap the celebration of Christmas 365 days a year just by feeling the change in your pocket. Every time you see a coin, remember you'll no longer be forgetful of the wonder and the majesty of Jesus' coming, Emmanuel, God with us. You'll instead jingle bell all the way with the jingle of your change and remember, penny, my past is forgiven. Nickel, now God's with me, Spirit is within me. Dime, my destiny is determined. And quarter, I'll be the quarter of the seed that continues to grow. As we unwrap Christmas, we realize, friends, I realize I need to celebrate. I need to celebrate. And I want to close today by doing that in one of my favorite ways. I don't know about you, but I really love traditional Christmas carols. And growing up, my great aunt, who we spent a lot of time with growing up, she made sure we knew the difference between Christmas songs and Christmas carols. She said, Christmas songs are the songs about Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but Christmas carols, she said, are about Jesus. They're the ones about Jesus. And done right, they can really connect us in our celebration of all this season. Mike and the band are going to close us up in a minute, in a few moments, with some worship. But before they do, what I want to do is to lead us in a simple way with just a couple verses of a couple Christmas carols, just you and me and my guitar, just really, really simply. And I'll confess to you right away, I've barely picked up my guitar in the last 3 years. And it was pretty rusty at the 8:30 service. But it's not about that. It's about just being as simple before God as we can and singing to him some celebration. Can we do that together?